Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When my friends and I went on a road trip down to the Winchester House, our first stop was an Airbnb in Crescent City so we could stay by the beach for a few days. I wish we hadn't gone there. My friends and I were having fun. Our first mistake was when my friend dared me to kiss the creepy-looking bird painting. I think that's why it was so attached to me. The next day, we noticed strange scratches and bruises with no explanation. My friend A and I kept feeling sick, but only when we were in that room, and more specifically, when we sat underneath the two unnerving bird paintings in my room. I'm feeling a little sick while writing this. My friend A and I are natural-born semi-clairvoyants. We don't have much experience, but we can feel presences and have a unique connection to this world and the next. While our friend B believes in ghosts, she has no level of spiritual ascendancy. Our friend K doesn't advocate that they aren't real, but she has no strong belief in them and isn't afraid of them whatsoever. K was more of a witness to all of this. We kept getting random urges to write things. I kept a pen and notebook with her at all times, but sometimes we ditched the notebook and just wrote on our arms. We'd scribble random things while staring ahead blankly, and we'd end up writing letters, words, and symbols. We pieced together some details about what happened to the ghosts. The spirits in that house include Penny Age Unknown, the ex-lover of Greg. Greg, 18 years old, the older brother of Eliza and Jennifer, Elizabeth, 8 years, and Jennifer, 14, the adopted sister of Greg. The painting I kissed housed Greg. That was mistake number one. Mistake number two, I licked that painting. Mistake number three, talking to them. That night we held a seance. After drawing random symbols became too difficult to decipher, we decided to try another method of communication that I suggested. You blindfold someone and play loud static in their ears, loud enough that they can't hear what you're saying or even that you're talking, allowing spirits to use them as a vessel and puppeteer answers and words. I won't elaborate on the entire seance, but Eliza communicated most through A, Greg communicated most through me, and Penny communicated most through B. We later figured out that towards the end of the seance, Jennifer lied to us and communicated with us under the name of another spirits. In the urban conditions or rules, they said to take off the sheets and pillowcases and leave them in the laundry room. Mistake number 4. When we left the house, we forgot to take off the sheets. When we stayed in the house, we made it very clear that the spirits were not allowed to follow any of us home. If you are unaware, in certain banishment rituals, you leave a place and don't look back. If you look back, it signals to that spirit that you still wanted in your life. When we got in the car, we realized we forgot to take off the sheets, and we had to go back into the house. Greg, Eliza, Penny, and Jennifer followed us home. At first, they seemed nice. They didn't seem to be doing any harm. However, we never trusted Penny. It seemed to be stronger than the other spirits and wasn't fully human anymore. It was urging closer to something else. We held a seance in my house and got more information about the spirits' relationships and filled in some of the blanks on the previous events. Later that night, a different spirit approached me. It told me not to trust Greg, Eliza, or Penny. I told the three of them that they aren't allowed in my house. I haven't felt alone in my room since then. So, this past Halloween 31st of October, some friends whom I regularly play with online decided to come visit so we could all finally meet in person. We rented an Airbnb in the city, got all dressed up in our costumes, and went out dancing. Everything was completely normal. Everyone was in great spirits and seemingly having a blast. Fast forward to the early hours of the morning, and I decided to break out my Ouija board. At this point, I should note that I've had paranormal experiences quite regularly my entire life, ranging from sensing what I call bad juju in certain areas of buildings to feeling a presence that makes my blood run cold. However, I had never been able to get any sort of activity to manifest itself on a Ouija board, not once. Fearlessly, I brought out the board and proceeded to skeptically commune around it with my girlfriend and my friend Vanessa. Everyone else in the house was asleep by this point. Vanessa took the reins as our guiding voice as we all meditated around what I knew to be nothing more than a board game. We all focused on shielding ourselves with a protective spiritual bubble while coaxing the passing spirits to commune with us on this Halloween night. Nothing. 10 minutes passed. The cursor flicked back and forth a few times, and I silently thought, "That's just Vanessa or my girlfriend moving it." We asked questions, all of which received no direct answers. About 20 minutes into this game, I mentally focused on removing my bubble shield. I mentally called out to the void, saying nothing aloud, challenging whomever was listening to come to me. My blood ran cold, and my eyes watered just typing this. Something came to me. I really can't describe it, but it was instantaneous. "Whoa," said the girls. They had felt it, and I couldn't believe it. Their immediate reaction solidified that what I was feeling was not my imagination, but something very real. I trembled as Vanessa said, "Is something or someone with us?" Now, I know what I'm about to say might sound bizarre, but just bear with me because it's kind of hard to explain what happened next. It felt like this thing dipped a tendril or a finger into my mind, just like we might dip a toe into a bath. I instantly felt its power, and it was the most powerful energy I have ever experienced. It felt like I was tapped into an army of beings, or perhaps an entire dimension. It was unfathomable. It made me feel as if it could devour the entire universe if it so pleased. It told me its name was Abaddon. It didn't say it verbally. It was more like it wrote it out letter by letter inside my head. I was terrified. I felt like my body wasn't vast enough or strong enough to house this thing's pinky finger. I felt overwhelmed. "What is your name?" Vanessa asked. The cursor moved and spelled out A, B, A.D. At this point, tears were streaming down my cheeks, and I said, "Abaddon." The girls both looked at me. "Its name is Abaddon. It told me about 5 seconds before you asked." At this point, I told the girls that we were not safe, and we implored the entity to move on from us. We said goodbye per Ouija board etiquette, and I stumbled into the kitchen and poured myself a glass of bourbon. The girls ran in after me to see how I was. My girlfriend knows me very well, and she instantly could tell I was not all right. For one thing, I was shaking like a leaf, my chest felt heavy, and I couldn't really talk about it for some reason. "Is it still with you?" my girlfriend asked, to which I nodded my head. We immediately returned to the board and basically exorcised the entity. We sat in a circle, all holding hands. The entity ran through my hands and into the girls. They both felt it and started shaking. I immediately felt 1,000 pounds lighter and 20 degrees warmer. Eventually, we got it to leave us. We were all very exhausted by this, but could barely sleep after. Everyone else in the house was awoken by this commotion and could tell something very serious had happened. My agnostic friend said she was lying in the next room praying. She had felt and heard what we were experiencing. The next day, I looked up Abaddon. This is what I found. The Hebrew term Abaddon. The Bible is both a place of destruction and an angel of the abyss. In the Hebrew Bible, Abaddon is used with reference to a bottomless pit, often appearing alongside the place Sheol, meaning the realm of the dead. Side note, the next morning, we could see the lot beside the Airbnb for the first time, since we had all arrived there at night. It was a graveyard. I promise that every word of this is as true as my memory allows. Thanks for reading and for any insight you all might be able to bring to this experience. Sometime during the end of the first semester, my friends and I wanted to go somewhere and get away for a week or two. Lucky for us, winter break was just around the corner. We were going up into a cabin in the woods. The place had a nice little pond, and everything seemed so great and peaceful. Of course, I wouldn't be on here if the story ended well. Anyways, it was a girls' trip with Sam, Beth, and I. When finals were finally over, we headed straight up to the cabin. The place looked like an ideal winter wonderland, in your own personal yard. "Hey, Aide, we should stop by a store to get some snacks and groceries for the next 2 weeks," Sam said to me. I nodded in agreement. The trip to the store was nothing other than a success. We really had no suspicion whatsoever about where we were staying. It's an Airbnb. The reviews are great, and add to that, the couple who owns the place reduced the price down for us college students. It honestly meant a lot. So when we got to the cabin up in the hills, the couple seems to already be at the cabin. They were waiting to give us the keys and directions. So when I got out of the car and to the front door, I was surprised to see a young man in a navy blue coat. They never sent me a message about someone else giving us the property for the next 2 weeks. Naturally, I just shrugged it off and waited for an explanation. While he was coming over, Beth and Sam were talking about Sam's issues in the car. I didn't want to interfere. I'm not as close to Sam as Beth is. I just hope she's okay. "I'm Max. My parents couldn't make it here to give you the place, so they sent me instead. Sorry about the whole inconvenience," he smiled while walking up to the porch of the cabin. The guy was cute, not gonna lie. He had a nice jawline, striking emerald green eyes, and chestnut brown hair. "It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm Adrian," I politely responded. As a car door closed, he turned his head to the sound, bringing into my view his Roman nose. "It's not extremely important, just something I noticed." "Well, you girls have fun and don't die," he joked, giving me the keys to the cabin, and just after that, he went and left. It was odd that he left right away without giving any general tips. I mean, then again, doing stuff for your parents must be pretty awkward. I thought nothing of it. After dinner, since we got there late afternoon, Everyone took a shower, and everything seemed all right. So naturally, for the next week, we just enjoyed the snow. I forgot to mention that outside, on the back porch, there was a nice hot tub. Going out in the cold, half naked isn't always fun. But with a nice warm destination and a beautiful view, everything seems worth it. So, for the next week, everything seemed normal. Or at least for me, it was. We just did whatever. I found myself time to study more. Within the first week, we did so many things, like catching up on shows, messing up the kitchen, all of that fun stuff. Other than hanging out, we also became closer as friends. This is way too good to be true. Like, honestly, I giggled with the girls. I mean, only $500 for a 2-week stay? Come on, that's literally only 5 nights at a 3-stars motel. I mean, the couple seemed nice. Besides, why overthink, Sam said to me. Add to that, this place has to have something off for it to be this cheap. I nodded to that statement. I'm forgetting the fact that one guy just left. Then again, the reviews here are extremely well. What can you do or say? Beth smiled. The oven dinged. The cupcakes are ready, girls, Beth said cheerfully. She's been baking. I mean, getting over a failed semester test requires hobbies, right? Well, I'm going to go take a bath because we all need a break every now and then, Sam said. I laughed at her for saying that. What? You don't like baths? No, Sam, we're literally on a break, I joked. She chuckled at my comment, then into the bathroom she went. Hey, Beth. Yay? What's up? You know that a grade doesn't define who you are, right? I looked at her. I know it was bad to mention it. She grew up with strict parents and life is a status. I know it's hard, but I don't know how to tell her that. The whole world isn't like that. Then again, she knows that. Just not for herself. Yay, let's change the subjects. How about us two explore the cabin and the forest around? We haven't had any quality friend times. Beth said, Aid, it'll be fun. I promise. Besides, what secrets are held in these woods? Fine. Only because I saw a shack around 40 feet away from the back porch, I let out a huge sigh. She's not facing her problems. Again. I slipped on some sweatpants over my shorts and threw on my coat. Hey, Sam. We'll be back in 10 or 20, I yelled. I heard nothing back, though I wasn't surprised. Sam and I, we've never been the best of friends. Walking to the shack was a little trouble, but when we looked at the whole thing, it was small and broken down. I smelled something rotting, and that was unpleasant. I looked at Beth, and we both nodded. I opened the shack's door. As it creaks open, a horrid smell escaped. I looked into the shack to see a table. I started gagging. I slammed the door shut and stopped myself from regurgitating my lunch. I hear snow platforms being broken into. Another person is around. I looked up at Beth. Her eyes widened and the pupil of her blue orbs looked like a tiny dot in a drawing. I heard foreign footsteps were getting louder. I grabbed Beth by the arm and ran back to the cabin. I slammed the door shut and locked it. While running, I glanced back and saw Max, covered in cold, dried blood. I ran to the bathroom door. Sam, we need to leave. Now. I yelled and screamed, slamming on the door. With that, the lock broke and I busted the door open. The only thing I see is a tub full of diluted blood and smudged red on the wall tiles. Beth, Sam isn't in here. The wall is covered in blood. Call the police. I looked back and I see Beth, crying on the floor. I grabbed my phone and dialed the police. It felt like my whole world was collapsing on me. 911, what's your emergency? We found dismembered corpses in the shack of the Airbnb we rented and my friend is missing. There's blood in the bath's water and blood all over the wall. I started panicking. With every word, my sentences got faster and I couldn't breathe. Ma'am, I need you to calm down. The woman said to me. I tried to calm down and started to breathe. What is your location? I gave them my location. I gave them the property name. Everything I could to get them here. Faster. I just need them here. Okay, the police will be there within 10 minutes. Please wait and keep all doors locked until they arrive. When the police were finally here, they questioned us and looked around the place. They told us to go home, that they'll put out something on Sam. Someone asked me about who I've seen during this trip. I told them that there was a guy. He said that his name was Max. He had light brown hair and green eyes. Is there any prominent features about the man? The policeman who was questioning me seemed annoyed by this. His brows furrowed when he asked me that question, and I felt like wasting his time. I looked down at the ground. I can't think of anything else other than that he said that he was the owner's son and he had a very structured Roman nose. That's all I know. I'm sorry. I tried to calm myself down. After questionings, we were told to go back to our home and just wait. A week later, I'm here in my room. I haven't gone to any classes. They marked it as trauma, and let me just skip. I got a call from the station yesterday. Thank you for calling us right away. We found the owner's corpses in that shack you told us about. They were dismembered and being wrapped up. Most likely for cannibalism or trades. As for your friend, I'm sorry to deliver this bad news, but the bloody water was actually acid. It's a chemical that dissolves you, slowly, but as for the man, the owners didn't have a son. Of course, he didn't know that. We're also trying to track him down. I heard a knock on the door. We believe that he skipped town, the person on the phone continued. The lock was being jangled, so we'll try to see what's going on. Right then, the door creaked open, letting light into my dark dorm room. I glanced over and there I see a pair of striking green eyes. When I was around 9 to 11 years old, my family and their friends would rent out a different home every summer in the Poconos. Most of our friends, especially those with kids, would come by every weekend to swim, fish, and party. During the week, whoever took time off from work would stay there. My mother took off 1 or 2 weeks from work, and it was just the two of us at the home during the week. One night, while we were in bed talking as we usually did before going to sleep, we heard footsteps and movement downstairs. My mom immediately shushed me to hear better what was happening. I didn't get alarmed right away, but I remember asking why. My mom again hushed me with a sense of urgency and fear that instantly made me nervous. I realized that we were alone in the house and that someone else was downstairs. These footsteps were very loud and made no attempt to be quiet. After a minute or so, we heard them approaching the stairs. Once my mom realized that these noises were indeed happening, she sprang into action and quietly ushered me out of bed. She began to open the window. We were in a second floor bedroom with a flat roof directly outside our window. At the same time, the footsteps started to loudly climb up the stairs. I was terrified, and my mother was telling me to climb out the window. In her mind, these were robbers or intruders who might want to cause us harm. I hesitated but slowly started to approach the window, about to climb out, when the heavy footsteps reached the top of the stairs. I remember every step, each one making us more frightened. We heard it right outside our bedroom, and then everything went completely silent. We froze, not making a sound, for what felt like forever, but was probably only a few minutes, our hearts beating rapidly. Eventually, my mom opened the door, and there was no one there. She checked the whole house, including downstairs, and found nothing disturbed. It was completely empty, as if nothing had ever happened. It was a very strange experience that I still remember to this day. Whenever I bring it up to her, she's like, "Yeah, I don't know what happened, but maybe spirits could be real." Another weird thing I found in that house while exploring with other kids was that one of the closets downstairs had an extra little door in it. We opened it and found another crawl space-sized closet with a pillow and blanket inside. Looking back, I wonder if we disturbed anyone. Almost a year ago, my mom and I went to Scotland for vacation. We were really trying to find an old, haunted castle to stay in, but all of them were too far away from the city to get to. Instead, she found us a cute, renovated Airbnb in the heart of Edinburgh. We each had a room, and they were sectioned off from the rest of the house where the Airbnb owners lived. They were a nice couple who made us homemade haggis and turnips, which is delicious, by the way, and we would stay up way into the night talking about anything from religion to politics to life experiences, you name it. They also had an autistic son. My two of the three of my brothers are autistic, so we shared our stories about growing up with autistic people. On the first night, we went to bed around midnight. I passed right out without incident. But the next morning, my mom told me she had seen a cat running around the house. She and I both adore cats, so we were interested in seeing it. But when my mom asked the wife about the cat, the wife had no idea what she was talking about, that they hadn't had a cat in years. My mom decided to brush it off, and we went about our day exploring the city and adventuring. That night, we stayed up pretty late again, but I went to bed around 11 p.m., The thing about my room was that it had an extremely old-looking fireplace, which seemed like it hadn't been used in a decade or so. I thought it was a cute touch, so it didn't bother me any until that night. I was asleep when all of a sudden I hear really loud, heavy, labored breathing in my ear that was on the fireplace side of the room. I woke up fully but didn't open my eyes. I thought at first it was me who was breathing that way, maybe from a really intense dream or something. But it wasn't. I laid there, listening. All was quiet. So I turned over, away from the fireplace, and as soon as I started to doze off, I heard the breathing again. This time I just ignored it, but I couldn't help the image that flashed in my mind that there was something lying next to me. The next morning I woke up a bit late, but when I saw my mom, I told her about the breathing. I didn't want to sound crazy, so I brought it up in a joking way.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
But my mom just kind of stared at me. She then proceeded to tell me about how she had heard humming coming from the kitchen that previous night, and how she had thought the humming was coming from the owner's autistic son, similarly to how my older autistic brother hums. Before I had woken up, my mom told the wife about the humming and how my brother does the same thing. But the wife again had no idea what my mom was talking about, that their son doesn't hum or wander into the kitchen at night. Again, we both just shrugged it off and went about going out into the city. That night, however, was probably the most alarming, although it didn't happen to me. In the middle of the night, my mom had woken up only to see something dark and crouched in the corner of the room. She said that if she had gotten up to turn on the light, that it would have attacked her. So it just sat there, waiting for her to make a move. Eventually, she fell asleep because she couldn't do anything else. Come to find out, at the end of our adventure in Edinburgh, that the house we had stayed in was over 500 years old, and that friends of the Airbnb owners had made comments to them about their house being haunted, although they say that they themselves had never experienced anything like that. my husband surprised me with a trip to Pittsburgh. And as usual for our trips, we got an Airbnb with a superhost since we never had any issues before. As soon as we got there, we never received instructions on which entrance to use nor a code for the door until about 40 minutes later, and apologized for not responding sooner whatever. We see the room, and it's in a freezing cold, clammy basement, and absolutely filthy. Dust bunnies all over the floor, several questionable stains on the walls, and my pillow smelled like someone else's greasy hair. When I went to go shower, there was long black hair in the sink, on the toilet seat, in the corners, and in the shower. Luckily, the shower wasn't backing up, but it was so tight that the shower curtain kept clinging to me, which grossed me out and drove me nuts lol. The location was also very sketchy. We were super close to everything, which was great. But to get to our entrance, which was behind the townhouse, we had to pass through this empty lot that smelled like urine, had literal bags of shit, rubble, needles, and tons of large item trash, think sofas or mattresses, and those little plastic playground sets. We only stayed there a couple of nights, seriously considered staying elsewhere. But since we're old and don't go out drinking or anything, we go to bed relatively early. The other people that were staying the same weekend were obnoxious and loud, stomping around and slamming doors upstairs. We didn't enjoy the city of Pittsburgh as a whole anyways, but the Airbnb definitely didn't help. Fortunately, our next Airbnb in Boston a few weeks later was the best one we had yet, which was redeeming. I was only working part-time at a gas station to pay rent to my parents and buy some food for myself. Then one day, I was alone in my room when somehow I fell down the stairs. The next thing I remember is waking up in the hospital feeling sleepy, with my mom, dad, and uncle sitting next to me. It was a tough time for me, and I have to say, my uncle was my best friend during those hard years. My uncle talked to my boss and got me a week off from work. Then, he came to me and said he had booked a place for just me and him to go and stay for a few days. He said it would help me relax and clear my mind. When I got out of the hospital, my uncle took me home and told me to pack a bag. I didn't know what was happening or where my uncle was taking me. He stood there, leaning against the door frame of my bedroom. I stopped packing and turned to my Uncle Tom. "Where are we going?" I asked. He just smiled and said, "It's a surprise. You'll enjoy it." My uncle never lied, so I knew it wouldn't be something bad. It turned out we were going to visit Boston for the first time. My uncle really wanted us to have a great time on our relaxation trip, as he called it. We got there late in the afternoon, and for the rest of that evening, I just went to bed early. The Airbnb was a small house with two bedrooms in a regular neighborhood. It wasn't fancy, but it wasn't rundown either. The next morning, I woke up really early because I had fallen asleep around 5 p.m. the night before, and I hadn't eaten anything either, so I was really hungry. It was around 5 in the morning. I went to the living room, and my uncle was already awake because he always wakes up early. We decided to go out that day to the nearby arcades and movies. After a long but good day, we came back home, ordered some food, and watched some movies. Everything was going well, and I was looking forward to another 2 days of just chilling. That was until 2 a.m. that night when I was suddenly woken up by a loud noise coming from downstairs. I thought it was just a car passing by, or maybe my uncle getting up for a drink, but then I realized it wasn't. My uncle was still in his nightgown when he came into my room and quietly closed the door behind him. When he looked at me, I could see fear in his eyes. After 10 seconds of closing the door and just staring at me, he told me there were men downstairs who broke in. Those people downstairs were messing up the house and taking stuff like the TV and other things. My room didn't have a lock on the door, so it was clear those guys would come upstairs next. I don't know if they thought the house was empty, but my uncle said we had to stay away from them no matter what. He said they probably had weapons, and we didn't. As I lay there, I heard the intruders going through the drawers and taking things from the house. They were getting closer and closer to the room where we were hiding. I was really scared. I couldn't believe that this was happening to me during a holiday in an airbnb that was supposed to help me relax, not make me worried. I was stuck and didn't know what to do. Suddenly, the door to the room opened, and two people showed up in the doorway. The room was dark, and we had turned off our lights when we heard them coming upstairs. I was going to scream, but one of them put a finger to their lips, telling me to be quiet. They didn't care about us. They knew we were in the house, but they just left us alone in the room. All they wanted was for us to stay quiet and not call the police. I had no clue that the owner of the house owed money to what seemed like a gang, and neither did my uncle. After they left, we called the police and began packing our bags. The police discovered that the owner of the Airbnb had a criminal history and had been using the house for some illegal activities. We were fortunate to have gotten away without getting hurt, but the incident has made me very afraid of renting properties online or through apps in general. From now on, I'll only stay in hotels with good reputations. My uncle seemed really shaken up, to say the least. I guess an experience like that affects a person with a healthy mind more than someone who's already struggling. I'm genuinely questioning my sanity because of some creepy stuff that just happened to me. I got cross-faded the night before, so that could be why I experienced this. I woke up multiple times in the middle of the night to go pee, but one of those times, I couldn't go back to sleep because I have a bed bug problem I can't get rid of due to extreme poverty. I was feeling itchy and sensed something crawling around on me. As I started to feel sleepier, I heard a zap inside my head. I ignored it, then tried to go back to sleep, but kept having dreams without actually sleeping. I knew I was still awake, but it didn't feel like it, and my boyfriend kept trying to wake me up because I was making noises. So I rolled over and kept hearing static while trying to stop the dream. I ended up having a different one, but it wasn't too scary, so I let it happen. As I rolled over to get more comfortable next to my boyfriend, I had this weird feeling and kept hearing noises. Apparently, I was making noises too. Then, I got this extremely strange sensation and started seeing white dots, feeling like I was going into my boyfriend's body or leaving my own. That's when I managed to make a noise because I felt like I couldn't move, and my boyfriend finally woke me up. I was scared out of my mind. After a while, I turned on the light, and I swear to you, the light turned off and then on by itself. I had a panic attack. My boyfriend got up to check my plug-in strip, and it was crowded. But why did it turn off at that exact moment? I have had lucid dreams, vivid dreams, and even experienced sleep paralysis in my dreams before, but never while awake. I've asked my doctors about this before because it used to be quite a prevalent issue, but it had recently ceased. They told me it was due to an overactive brain from PTSD. I would chalk this up to sleep paralysis and maybe just being tired if that damn light didn't go off at that time. I am still really paranoid about everything, and I'm afraid to go back to sleep tonight. It's currently 5:31 a.m. I might update if I remember something else. I'm just getting this out of my head because my mom just told me not to smoke anymore. Once I booked an Airbnb in Las Vegas for New Year's. This place had 300 plus amazing reviews, 5 stars, and I booked it about 9 months in advance. The day before or day of, the owner sent me entry instructions. Everything seemed good, etc. I drove 5 hours to Vegas, and when I arrived at the apartment, it was just a completely different place. The door was wide open, so we stepped inside and saw trash, food or liquid all over the living room floor. The walls had dirt smears. The kitchen counter was piled like a foot high with dirty dishes. So many dishes you couldn't even see the counter. It smelled awful. I saw bugs. Like, it was not good. I was so confused. There was a Hispanic man standing in the kitchen, and some kids sitting on the couch. The man saw us come in and started talking to me in Spanish. I don't know Spanish, and he didn't know English. My fiancé, who speaks Spanish, asked him if he was the host. He wasn't, but he was there in place of the host, and our room was ready. He showed us to an almost equally dirty bedroom, which was just a mattress on the floor. While we were there all 5 minutes of it, some lady who looked like a coked-out prostitute came to the door and tried to buy drugs. The guy shooed her away. I said there was no way we were staying there. I left pretty angry, and I called the host. He explained that he was actually moving to Seattle and had already moved out of his apartment, and that he asked his neighbor to host the rest of his guests. I told him, "Have you seen this guy's place?" I really let that guy have it. I rarely get mad, and I have never yelled at a stranger, but I was so mad because it was New Year's Eve in Vegas, and we had booked 3 nights there. The rooms were going to be super expensive, or we would have to drive back home. He ended up meeting us at a nearby Burger King and refunded us our room and booked us a hotel for the 3 nights. He paid the big difference. He seemed very sorry, but I was just so mad. I told him, "You cannot send any more guests there. It's a drug dealer or hoarder house." I totally felt that Airbnb failed me because I am so trusting when a listing has a ton of great reviews. I stayed away from Airbnb for a few years after that, but have started using them again, and the places I've gone have been pretty great since then. So I'm not one to 100% believe in ghosts. I definitely am a believer of some sort of spirits or a presence of the dead, but I personally haven't experienced enough to have an opinion until an Airbnb I stayed at. The location was an old 17th century New England town by a lake. It was an extremely popular lake back in the day and up until the 1950s even. There were a ton of weird little bungalow lake houses. Then there were some huge mansion houses that were falling apart and abandoned. It was an odd neighborhood, but the lake was remote, quiet, and it was a nice way to spend the snowy winter. We stayed at the Airbnb for a week and brought our cat. Because of the cat, we never leave doors closed to the bedroom or bathroom, because she will meow and try to get in. This is important. The apartment itself was nice, had a pretty view of the lake, and it didn't creep me out entirely, except for the second bedroom that was locked. There was a second bathroom just outside the door, along with a closet whose door never closed. I woke up on our second night in the Airbnb and had to pee. It was around 2 a.m., so I didn't want to wake my boyfriend or cat, so I tiptoed to the second bathroom by the locked room and left the door halfway open. I know this because the door had a mirror facing the toilet. As I sat down, I noticed I could only see half my body in the reflection. The door was half open, so the mirror didn't face me directly, if that makes sense. I finished my business, and as I stood up, I stopped instantly. My body was completely visible in the mirror. The angle had changed. Maybe my cat nudged the door. I washed my hands and went to push the door open as I hadn't closed it, and it was locked. The door was locked. Full-on twist lock that you have to turn inside the handle. This may seem so insignificant, but I freaked out. I did not lock that door, I didn't close that door, and I wanted to get the hell out. I had to untwist the lock and open the door completely. I got back to the bedroom and my boyfriend and cat are still sleeping on the bed. I shake him awake, and of course he has no idea what I'm talking about. I didn't use that bathroom for the rest of the trip. Okay, last time I tell this story. My first time in US. Airbnb lay where I stayed for 5 nights. First red flag was the place was not the actual address that was on Airbnb. So I rang the doorbell. Nobody answered, sent a message over Airbnb, and they said, "Okay, John, we'll come pick you up." Pick me up. Sure enough, a minute later, someone came at me from the sidewalk and said, "Yeah, come with me, it's over here." Just around the bend, really. But another apartment building. I get the keys and stuff and tired from driving all the way from SF, I just go to sleep. Next morning, the girl who appears to manage the Airbnb account and types the messages and all that is up handy, because I have to ask how to turn on the shower different here, I guess. This goes normally and all is good. I shower and put clothes on. I am on my way out, go through the living and say, I'm going out to meet a friend for coffee, to which she responds with a classic, oh, I had a nightmare about my cat last night. I'm like, okay, now I really gotta go get me some coffee with my friend. But she insists for a bit more to explain me how in her dream, her cat was decapitated. This is not normal morning material, girl. Cut it off. More stuff was wrong. When I came home, she tells me how she's tired of the guy. I'm a guy as well. But doesn't really matter. They're splitting up. That's why all their shit is all in boxes stacked to the wall in the living room. I say okay. She tells me they're moving out of state. Actually, both to different states as they're breaking up. The day after my reservation. I'm starting to think. What can I safely leave at the place when I go out for a drink? Can I even leave my suitcase, my laptop? After all, if they decide to leave a day early with all my shit as well, I really don't know what's to stop them. This is not something I caught on video, but my boyfriend told it to me. It was 2 years ago. I was on a trip in Bergen, Norway, and we were staying at an Airbnb for the first night. The night before I had barely sleep because we had taken the night train from Oslo. At that time, I had bad anxiety and my stress often comes off at night with very bad nightmares and terrors. This night I slightly remember, but mostly my boyfriend told me about it. I was sleeping and suddenly I screamed very loud. I got up from bed, still screaming and panicking, and went to the balcony door, ripping off the curtains trying to open the window door. I managed to open it and went on the balcony, still screaming. We were at the 8th floor. My boyfriend was obviously waken up by my screams and came to me on balcony telling me to calm down. I was blinded by my fear and couldn't wake up from my nightmare and was telling my boyfriend that I didn't know him, to leave me alone, etc. Finally, after a few minutes, I calmed down and went back to bed. When my boyfriend told me this, I was totally frightened. I frequently have nightmares and like quick sleeping, amnesia, not recognizing my surroundings, but I never had it so bad. Bad enough it could have been a danger to my life, because I went on the balcony, who knows. I could have jumped. I wasn't in control. For a while back in 2019, I was very depressed, and at night, I would have wild, intense nightmares. They were very thrilling, but I could never remember them except for bits and pieces throughout the day. Even my neighbor, whose house is only 7-9 feet away from mine, and whose bedroom window is closest to mine, would hear me at night. I apologized one day when he told me he was going to call the police because he heard me screaming at night. But he realized I was having nightmares and told me to get sleep recording apps on my cell phone. For 3 days, nothing happened. But then one night while I was listening intently, I began sighing and sniffling, and suddenly, a gut-wrenching scream my own voice scared me to bits. What the hell was I so afraid of? And then I heard it my own voice talking as if I was being attacked. You coward mother F, stab me like a man. And if I live through this, I'll find you and I'll throw you into. Just imagine hurling insults at your attacker. The more I recorded, the more I began to remember my dreams. The very last dream I remember was being a Sonic character and Knuckles or someone stabbing me. Nothing extraordinary or special. But I stayed in this Airbnb once that just had a really bad vibe. It didn't start off that way, and nothing of note really happened. But I still felt uncomfortable while I was there after the first night, especially if I was alone. We accidentally took the keys with us after leaving, and I had to be the one to drop them back off at the building. they specifically requested I leave them up on the third floor kitchen table. I remember walking through the threshold and feeling like I had walked into a room where everyone was staring at me. It was thick and awkward and uncomfortable. I wanted so badly to leave them somewhere on the entry-level floor, but the Airbnb was expensive and not booked in my name, and I felt like I had to do exactly what the building owner asked. I ran up the sets of stairs and back down, and literally the entire time I felt as though there was someone close behind me. Knowing their presence made me uncomfortable, but followed anyway. In the 4 days I was there, this 5-minute period was the worst. I stared at nothing but my feet the whole time. I genuinely feel like if I reached out that something would have responded. The energy was so obvious and present. I swear it was in the air almost like an electric charge. I couldn't sleep through the night's most nights. On the first night I woke up and felt like something was standing in the room. It sounds like nothing, but I know I was being watched. I could feel it, even though I couldn't see it. And strangely, I could point out what area of the room I felt like it was in, despite not seeing it. I didn't feel threatened, but I did feel uncomfortable, and then eventually the feeling passed. I still didn't sleep, but I did feel like if I wanted to, I could. I had a girlfriend whose family told me that you could hear kids running and laughing at nighttime in her parents' room. They also mentioned that they had a pretty loud office chair that made sounds too. I was skeptical about it, so to prove it, I decided to let my phone record overnight. I left the phone recording at 10 p.m. and went to my house. The next day, I went to her house to pick up my phone, and she told me, "The phone stopped recording by itself around 6 a.m. at that time of the year. It was the hour when the sun started to show up." I went back home, picked up some headphones, and started listening to the audio. Most of it was absolute silence. And when I say absolute, I mean not even the kind of static you can hear on most silent audios. The interesting part came around 4 or 5 a.m. Remember I told you that the recording was absolute silence? Well, at this time of the audio, it started to sound like someone was tapping on the phone and the things around it. Most of it was wooden furniture and some speakers, so it sounded like someone was tapping on wood. I left my phone over an amplifier, so it also sounded like someone was tapping on a thin sheet of metal. But this was just the beginning. About 10 minutes of tapping in, a very distorted and guttural voice started making sounds, like "uo," "aye," and "oh-oh-oh-oh-oh." While this was happening, the chair I mentioned at the start started banging as if someone was swinging on it. About 25 minutes before the recording ended, it went back to full silence again.